Before we start, if you guys could say your first and last names to make sure I pronounce them right, and give your pronouns as well, that would be brilliant.
I'm Rachel Taylor, and my pronouns are she, her.
I'm Amanda Melfi, and my pronouns are also she, her.
Hello, and welcome to Shelf Healing, UCL's bibliotherapy podcast. I'm your host, Rebecca Markwick. Our guests today are Rachel Taylor and Amanda Melfi. Rachel is marketing manager at Tor Books. She runs all of the imprint's social media accounts, as well as the Tor side of the Tor Forge blog. Prior to starting at Tor Books, Rachel was the marketing and publicity coordinator at Yen Press, a manga publisher owned by Hachette Books and Kadokawa Corporation, where she managed all title marketing and publicity, as well as the company's convention presence. Rachel's main claim to fame is that John Scalzi once called her one of the best social media people ever. Amanda has a master's degree from Pace University. She works for Macmillan and runs the Tor.com and the Tor.com publishing social media accounts. All opinions and thoughts expressed on this podcast by Rachel and Amanda are their own and not a representation of Tor Books or Macmillan. First question to get us started is nice and easy. Do you feel that reading is therapeutic?
I know on my end, I do find it very therapeutic, especially in quarantine where the stress levels have been very high. I found I've definitely gravitated towards certain types of books and certain types of reading when I'm in a bad mood or upset or just getting overwhelmed or anything like that. Sometimes I'll just go back to a particular passage and just read it over and over again, just because I find it very comforting to have that available.
I also feel that reading is very therapeutic. I am all for doing a lot of comfort reading, but also I love those books that like tear your heart out. I feel like sometimes you need something to really just rip your heart out to feel very just zen and therapeutic inside. I'm always for a book that gives you a good cry.
What kind of books do you guys reach for when you want to relax or sort of improve your mental well-being, or just like you say, kind of have your heart torn out?
Well, I know, Amanda, I don't know if you've read this one yet. It's not coming out till September 2021, but Under the Whispering Door by T.J. Clune. He also did The House in the Cerulean Sea that also came out this year, and it was my favorite book of the year. And Under the Whispering Door was definitely one I just plowed through in like 2-3 days. It's heart-wrenching. It's beautiful. It's funny. I've definitely added to anyone's TBR shelves. T.J. really knocked out of the park again with like comfort reads, but also like high emotions, which was great.
The one that I reach for the most, I find a lot of comfort in my childhood reading. I know a lot of people definitely do. And there definitely have been books over the years that hit that same soft spot. But when I find myself very much needing something comforting and something to really just send me in, the Inkheart series by Cornelia Funke just hits that soft spot for me every time. I mean, who doesn't want to be a little girl who reads herself into her favorite story?
Oh. Do you think it's the nostalgia that draws you back, or is it sort of a sense of those old friends from your childhood, or something else entirely?
A little bit of both, I would say. I feel like I remember the first time I read it and I was just swept away by all of the fantasy. It's in a completely different world. And then being compared to the world that she lives in now, being a little kid who loved reading, that was exactly what I wanted to do. That was the only thing I wanted to do. And then realizing eventually when you're getting older that you can't do that, it was a little sad. So at least this way you revisit those same friends over and over again. And it really just gives me that good old comfort, like therapeutic comfort feeling.
Yeah. Between you guys, you run the Tor Books and Tor.com and Tor Publishing media accounts on everyone's social networks. Is mental well-being something you think about when creating your content for those platforms?
I think definitely is something that we keep in mind if we don't prioritize. I know, like on our end, we went silent for the US elections because we wanted to keep in mind like our manager's well-being, and also the fact that that just wasn't something people were really looking for on social media when the elections were happening. They had other focuses in mind. And outside of that, we always do try to create a safe space for our authors and also our followers as well, trying to create engaging content, but also content that feels welcoming and that anyone can participate if they have interest in sci-fi and fantasy.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. We we try to keep our spaces as inclusive as possible. We like to make sure that when people log on their different forms of social media platforms, it can be a lot sometimes, and it can be a lot of opinions that you didn't necessarily sign up for. So keeping it as lighthearted as possible is definitely a thing that I try to incorporate into our accounts, and keeping the authors also in a state of not always feeling like they have to promote their book, but that they can have fun with our accounts on a personal level is a thing that I found really, really helps de-stress from situations of being logged into things like Twitter, Facebook, Instagram.
Your Twitter accounts across the board are generally incredibly funny and super inclusive and really kind. Alongside just the author and book promoting that you do, do you find that this positivity affects you on a personal level and improves your own mood? Or is it really hard some days to put all of those happy, upbeat posts on that tour persona?
I think it definitely affects me personally. I know I'm always like having a way better day, and I always come out like smiling when we have something funny happen. Like, I know, I think it was last week, Amanda pinged me and she was like, do you want to do knock knock jokes on Twitter? She's like, I'm going to send you a knock knock joke and we're going to do a whole thread of knock knock jokes on Twitter. It had nothing to do with books or anything really. I think both of the jokes that we wound up telling were Doctor Who related jokes, but it was just like fun and light and people engaged with it. I know one of our authors also engaged with it too, which was fun to bring him in. But I think doing just fun, light, not necessarily book related things on our accounts occasionally definitely brings at least my mood way higher. And it seems that our followers also enjoy it as well.
Yeah. A lot of our fun interactions aren't forced. We don't really plan them out. It's more of just we poke each other and we're like, hey, do you want to do this? I thought this would be fun today. Or, hey, just a heads up, in 30 minutes, I'm going to tag you in a picture about a skull. Don't worry about it. Just roll with it. Like, let's see what happens. This will be great. But it definitely improves my mood. Like the knock knock jokes, I was just swamped in things to do. And I was like, this, you know what? This would be great. We haven't had some fun on the Twitters in a while. Let's go for it. What's the worst that's going to happen? A Doctor Who joke? Everyone loves a good Doctor Who joke.
Yeah, one of our chief exports, isn't it? Doctor Who to the US. Right? And it's such British humor as well. And yet globally, it's so popular. And people, again, it seems to fit into that comfort area of sort of, especially the sci-fi and fantasy is a very popular comfort reading area because of the escapism and sort of that saving the day theme that you get in a lot of sci-fi and fantasy. Huge fan.
Oh, I fully agree.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, always Doctor Who. Always love Doctor Who. And also the wealth of like GIFs of Doctor Who on Twitter definitely help blocks. We tend to get into GIF wars often, just like flink them back and forth. It's like, okay, we have 50 Doctor Who ones to pick from. Like, let's go.
And they're great because since we run two different social media accounts, a lot of people do think all of the Macmillan accounts are run by one person, which is not true. But a lot of them are like, I am the tour.com and tour.com pub, and Rachel does run a variety of the tour accounts. So yes, at some point we do end up talking to ourselves, which is also very therapeutic for whatever reason. You get to take two sides of the same argument and just post all different kinds of GIFs. Things are on fire on one side, and then things are full of Doctor Who happy, light, funny jokes on the other.
Yes, especially remember one of our coworkers was out. So another coworker runs Tortin and Forge. So they popped on the Nightfire account and just started spamming us with these really wild horror
gifts.
Those were so funny. We were like, Sarah, where did you even find these? These are really wild. And they were just like, and just kept clinging them into the conversation.
Which is it's like I mentioned before, sometimes it just takes a turn. We don't really plan these out. I definitely did not plan those to have those horror gifts next year. So
it's very lovely, I think, the GIF functionality on Twitter particularly, because there's loads of random literary things on there and movie things on there that you wouldn't expect to be there, that if you look hard enough, you go, oh, this is cool. Yeah. As well as all of like the standard Pusheen and cuddly bears.
It's funny what'll pop up if you just type in a random phrase or a random word. It's like, I don't think anything exists for this, but I'm just going to check just in case. And then it's like, whoa, this is the perfect thing that I never even thought existed. But I guess when you shoot your shot on Twitter GIFs, it provides sometimes.
Yeah. And I think people really like the GIFs. People, mm-hmm. It cheers people up, you know, it gets such a positive reaction. I've yet to see a GIF that hasn't made me smile or laugh, which is nice, really, on the well-being side. Your accounts, like you've said, they engage with each other as well as with all of your lovely authors and followers. Do you find that quite fulfilling? Is it something, I mean, it sounds like it's something that you have fun doing. Is there anything particularly that you enjoy, like the conversations with followers or when the authors get dragged in when you maybe haven't necessarily planned it, or just like that witty back and forth between all the tour accounts?
I know for me, I find it particularly fulfilling when the authors start engaging, because if we tag each other, the other one's going to reply. Like I would never ignore something Amanda tagged me in, but the author sometimes will just pop in on a thread or just something they thought was funny. I feel like that's always really nice, being like, oh, John showed up. He thought this was funny. Like John thinks I'm funny. Or like TJ pops up. It's like, oh, TJ decided to poke his head into this conversation. And then their followers get engaged too. And then it becomes even more of a joke. And then it feels very inclusive. Like everyone's having a good time with this thing, because now so many people are participating. And, you know, authors don't have to engage with us. That's always nice when they are having a good time. They feel compelled to reach out or poke us or just join in on the fun.
Yeah, I would definitely say that having the authors engage naturally and as they feel comfortable is the most rewarding thing for us as the people who run it. But I also personally just love, and it doesn't happen very often, but I love when I respond to a follower's tweet. Like they'll respond to something that we've said, or they'll laugh at the joke and just be like, haha, that was funny, that made my day. And I'll respond with something and they're like, oh my God, Tor answered us. Tor like acknowledged my tweet. And I always forget. I mean, not forget, but it's like a thing that you don't realize after a while, because you have worked on the social media side, that you're like, oh, right. People don't get this interaction with many other companies or many other like things that they enjoy seeing on their timeline all that often, which is like, it's rewarding to see these people who enjoy your content then get excited when you respond to them. And you didn't expect a reaction like that, or I never do, because I just consider it another tweet that I'm sending out to these people who love us and follow us. But when they go over the top in their reaction, it's so satisfying and so heartwarming for me.
I agree. Even sometimes I'll just like a tweet, you know, like those funny things I put out, someone replies and I'll just like it, and they'll be like, Tor Books liked my tweet. And I'm like, oh, that's so nice. It's so wholesome. And also with the social sweepstakes too, because Tor does a lot of Twitter and Instagram social sweeps. And when I contact someone being like, hey, you won, you know, an arc or something, or you won a pin or whatever it was, and they're like, oh my God, I won something. Like sometimes you forget, because we can read these books that like if people really do, like how much they treasure them and how much they value them, and being able to read something they were really excited about early can be such like a day maker for people. And it's just really nice to see how excited people can get when that pops up.
Yeah. Or too, sometimes because we got the author involved, they then get a tweet from their favorite author that might not have happened before, mm-hmm. because we allow authors to do that. If an author has a personal social account, that is their personal social account. By no means do they have to feel obligated to do anything involving their book or us or anything like that. So when it's almost like, because you sent out the knock knock joke from Doctor Who, now they got a tweet from their favorite author. Well, that, and they're so excited about that. That just makes my knock knock joke all the more worth it.
Yeah. I mean, I for our listeners, the way that we managed to organize this chat with Rachel and Amanda was after a John Scalzi burrito fiasco. Oh, no, burrito. John Scalzi is king of burritos. His Twitter is full of cats and burritos. It's fantastic. You should follow it. But Mexican food arrived at John Scalzi's house and he didn't know who it was from. And then the Tor accounts came in with like, that was us. We sent you burritos, which was very entertaining in and of itself. And I'm a big fan of obviously the works that Tor puts out, but also of how happy and uplifting your accounts are. So I popped on my personal Twitter. I was like, oh my God, if I could have someone on the podcast to talk about well-being and books, it would be the Tor account people, and just tagged you in like, just, I don't know. I was like, maybe they'll see it and they'll be like, oh yay, someone likes us. And then we ended up in a little gif war with the little teddy bears and the hearts and all of that. And then we started DMing. It's like, come on the podcast, it'd be fun. And here you are. So uplifting Twitter, you know, it's a niche part.
That was very funny with the burritos. That was actually me that sent that to John, and he lives in a very rural area of the United States. And I was messaging his publicist. I was like, can I send him burritos? Am I allowed to? And she was like, yes, you should definitely send him burritos. And I was like, there are exactly three places that will seamless him burritos, so I'm going to do it. And it was just very funny. It was nice how happy he was. And also he very kindly made a donation to 2 food kitchens because we sent those to him, which I thought was very, very sweet of him to do. So it's nice to see how, like, you know, one silly thing of sending someone burritos can cascade like that. And then into this talk too.
Yeah. Yay. That leads me into my next very long question. I apologize for the length of this one. But is the well-being of your authors on social media, particularly on Twitter, something that you're constantly aware of? Twitter in particular can be quite a negative space sometimes and can have quite detrimental effects on people's mental health. Is ensuring staff and author well-being high on your list of things to do with the social accounts?
Definitely. It's definitely a very high priority. Usually I feel that our Twitters, our followers are very like respectful and kind, but you will occasionally get trolls that will comment very negative things on posts or retweet things that are very negative. And it's important for us to be aware and kind of at least peripherally always on. So if something does happen, you can catch it very quickly, because especially if the author's tagged in it, you don't want their mentions and their notifications and everything to suddenly be blowing up with anything hateful or toxic. So it's nice that we you know, our accounts are both Twitter verified, and that usually holds a lot of weight in, you know, reporting things. So usually if we get on it fast enough, we can protect our authors as quickly as we can.
Yeah. I know a lot of authors lately have been taking a Twitter break, and that has been a thing that when I'm in email contact with them, they let me know and they're like, hey, if I don't respond to your tweet and you tweeted me directly, or if you posted something about my book and I didn't retweet it, just know I'm not on Twitter for my own mental well-being right now. And by no means are they required to sacrifice that just to retweet something, just to hang out on Twitter in case I at them a funny gif or something like that. It's definitely a take care of your mental state before worrying about doing something for your book, because I can do the promotions for your book on Twitter on my own. Just worry about yourself, and if that means you take a 6-month break from Twitter, then that's okay. That's perfectly fine.
Yeah. And I think that's such a lovely thing to hear from the marketing department of a publishing house, you know, because there's so much pressure on that marketing department to get as many people to buy these books as possible, as quickly as possible, and keep it happening, that I imagine the pressure on not just you guys as part of that team, but also that can trickle down to those authors who maybe feel pressured to stay somewhere, like you say, Amanda, that actually taking a break is better for them in the long run, and that making sure that they know that you guys are fine with that is probably of a great help to them.
And I do feel like the pressure for authors is there, because all authors, they work so hard to make their books. They want them to succeed. But I know something that we tell our authors a lot who are stressed out about that is that social media isn't good if you're forcing it. It's not good for you, and it's probably not going to wind up the best it could be either. Like, if you don't like Instagram, you shouldn't do Instagram just because you feel like you have to. Like, if you do like social media, it would probably be serving for your best, for your mental health, and also for the content you're putting out, if you have a channel that you like and you really, you know, focus on doing the channel that you like and not trying to make yourself, you know, get on Twitter because you feel like you have to be on Twitter, right, to do something good for your book. Because we're there, we can keep pushing it and doing the best that we can to push the book. You don't need to like force yourself into a social media program that you don't want to be in.
What's your favorite thing about all of the fun tour crossover stuff that happens on your social media accounts?
I know for me personally, I only started at tour less than 2 months before the pandemic hit. So I was in the office less than 2 months before we all went work from home. And I was like, oh no, I'm never going to like make, it's going to be so hard to make friends with my colleagues and like get to know people for all working from home and kind of, you know, in our little groups, because, you know, we're working with our groups and we're not like passing people in the office like we normally would. But I find it's really nice to have these collaborations. And I got to know Amanda and I got to know like our other social media managers, because we're always interacting and engaging in these ways. And I feel like it's been a really nice team bonding experience to still have these crossovers and all like the shenanigans happening on Twitter that it's not, you know, just us in our corners not talking to each other ever.
Yeah, I think my favorite thing is that I've been at tour a little bit longer than Rachel has. And so I was used to that office interaction. I was used to dropping by somebody's desk and just saying, do you want to get in a fake fight on Twitter? Yeah, you want to get into a fake fight on Twitter? Awesome. Thanks. I'm gonna say something silly and I'll talk to you in an hour. Or just doing things like pretending that there are dragons on the roof and asking who brought the dragons. Like, HR is going to kill us. Why would you put the dragons on the roof where HR can see them? But being able to laugh sitting next to or across from the person that is responding to me, that translated so well to working from home that I feel like I didn't lose. It's a different kind of interaction where, you know, Rachel and I have to G-chat each other now before silly things go down, but it's still it was such a natural transition from the office to working from home. And I was really glad that that wholesomeness and that fun that we have did not get lost in being from home and not seeing everybody every day and working in a way that it's all through email or G-chat or we have to figure out a time for Zoom or something. But that is definitely my favorite part, is that we just didn't lose any of that and that we're able to keep that going, because that's my favorite part of my day, is doing some silly things with Rachel and our other social media managers online. And it also counts as work. Sending silly gifts counts as work. And you know what? For that, I will be forever grateful.
Amazing. Now, tricky question. Apart from your own fantastic tour accounts, what Twitter accounts would you suggest people follow for this sort of positive, upbeat Twitter account kind of thing? And also, what book would you recommend with the same kind of good for your well-being that you've loved that you think everyone should read?
I really love the SparkNotes Twitter account. I don't know if either of you have. I know Amanda knows the SparkNotes, but they are so funny. I don't know who makes the content or if they have a team, but it's always completely ridiculous, very funny, very bookish. And I always appreciate that and always gives me a good laugh whenever I see the SparkNotes Twitter account going. As for books I would recommend, I mentioned earlier TJ Klune. He put out a book called The House in the Cerulean Sea in March of this year. It was one of the first books I read after I started at tour. And I just really love it. V.E. Schwab, who wrote The Invisible Life of Addie LaRue, blurbed it, and she described it as being wrapped up in a big gay blanket. Simply perfect. And it really is like being wrapped up in a big gay blanket. It's delightful. It's warm. It's cozy. It's about like found family, happily ever afters. It's a really beautiful book. And I think it was the perfect 2020 comfort read, where it had a lot of emotions and pulling at the heartstrings. It was still very like warm and wholesome and just a lot of good feelings in such a tumultuous year.
I am a personal fan of it's called Effin' Birds. It's like pictures of birds with like the funniest things that you like think of in your head, but you don't say out loud for certain situations. I forget. I think there was one that I came across it by chance. It was like a picture of an angry owl. And it said something along the lines of, oh, good, I'm glad another email came through. And I was like, this already owns my soul. I love it so much. And I think along the lines of like that funny, like silly, like in your head kind of thing. Personally, I would recommend Gideon the Ninth by Tanzan Muir. I swear this is not because I worked on this book. I'm just a personal fan of it. It is lesbian necromancers in space. There are bones. There are swords. There are just everything that you could hope for. Just humor. There's memes in this book. I had never read a book before that contained memes in such a great, delightful way that never broke up prose or never broke up anything that you like. It was just in there. Once you're in, you're in. So if you're looking for something that is similar to that kind of a Twitter account, full on Gideon the Ninth fan.
Do you ever like use the wrong handles when you're replying to stuff on Twitter?
So I only run the Tor Books Twitter, but I have accidentally thought I was logged into my personal, and I haven't like retweeted anything that I shouldn't have retweeted, but I have like liked one or two things and then been like, oh no, I'm on the Tor Books Twitter quick. Unlike that, I know my supervisor, Renata, she did run the Tor Books Twitter before I came on, and she has told me stories that she has definitely done that. And usually we like both of us corrected what we did very quickly, but there's always one person that notices and says something. It's like, no, no, just ignore that, please. It didn't happen.
Yeah, I've also definitely, because I have, it's on my phone, you have these tiny little bubbles. And so it's my personal Twitter, the Tor.com Twitter, and then the Tor.com pub Twitter. And I haven't done anything on my personal account that I've thought that I was in work account or vice versa, but I have accidentally clicked the wrong Tor bubble and like sent a GIF or something from the wrong Tor account. So somebody would be like playing with Tor.com online, and then all of a sudden Tor.com pub popped in and just sent a GIF, and I'm like, oh, that was the wrong. All right, I mean, it works, you know, it's not a bad thing. It works, but they're just not expecting a random other account to jump in here. But
I always feel like it spices it up a little bit when another account just pops in randomly. Be like, wait, we wanted to hang out too. Why didn't you include us in this interaction?
Yeah.
Getting all of the Tor account love, you know. Mm-hmm. It's like when I tagged you in the account, the little tweet that I did inviting you guys on and saying how cool you are. I wasn't sure who's in charge of what account, because I'm like, it's got to be probably a couple of people at least. And I was like, this account and this account. And I was like, oh, and I forgot this one. And oh, what about this one too? And I was like tagging more and more Twitter Tor accounts going, I don't know who's in charge of them, but I'm going to tag them all. And there's so many.
It's worth it. It's worth tagging us all, because mm-hmm. I would get two notifications and then Rachel would get one plus all the other ones. And Rachel's also very good at catching things when they're tagged at the wrong publisher and throwing them my way and just being like, this is for you. This is not for me.
Yeah. I mean, it is confusing between Tor and Tor.com. So I definitely appreciate the confusion, because I didn't fully understand until I started working at Tor, but we will, because I have Gideon the Ninth, Murder Bot, all those types of books are all Tor.com. And a lot of the times, like, Tor will get tagged. I'll just be like, Amanda, if it's like something I think like Amanda would want to see or reply to, I'm like, Amanda, this is for you. Sorry.
And I'm always like, oh, this is not for, like, we'll get tagged in things that Tor does. And I'm like, oh, that's not us. Here you go, Rachel. This is for you.
Yeah, that happens with the other ones too. Occasionally I'll get something for Forge or Tortine, not Nightfire yet, but those will happen too. And then it's like, okay, time to like shuttle that to the correct manager if it's something that they need to reply to. If it's not, then I usually just let it go.
Nice. Well, their show notes on this episode are going to be full of new Twitter accounts for all our listeners to follow, because there are so many good Tor accounts just to start, and then all of those accounts you've mentioned, and some lovely books. And who doesn't love an uplifting, tear-jerking book, or just some escapist fantasy? And who doesn't love talking about dragons on Twitter? Can't go wrong with that.
We are huge fans.
Yeah, come talk about dragons with us.
Yes,
please
someone talk about dragons more with us.
More dragon content on Twitter, guys. It's all we need. All we need is all the dragon content.
We fully support Twitter. All the dragon content.
Yes, and the debate of what constitutes a dragon, that's always important too.
Ooh, yeah. That is good. On the day this episode goes out, our Shelf Healing Twitter account is going to ask that question. What makes a dragon?
Please do.
And we'll see where it goes, you know, it'll be exciting. Thank you so much for taking time out of running your amazing Twitter accounts and Instagram and all of your socials. Thank you so much for coming on and chatting to us about well-being and books and the joys that you can actually have on Twitter. It's been lovely.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
We all had such great fun doing this episode, and do check out all of the Twitter accounts. They'll be in the show notes. And Shelf Healing will indeed ask, what makes a dragon? And you guys can vote and chat and engage with us. I hope you've enjoyed this. I hope it gave you a little behind the scenes to the publishing world and how all the Twitter accounts work. Do check out the Tor Twitter accounts. They are fantastic. Thanks as always to Nicholas Patrick for our music, and I'll be back next week with another interview.